All right, we are in this series of The Missing Piece, and we're talking today about how expectation is the enemy of peace. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the missing piece and those puzzle pieces, and so we're sort of doing this play on peace, P-I-E-C-E, and P-E-A-C-E, and I was just thinking this morning how really the thoughts of this message I'm going to share now sort of fit around that. Because many times when you're putting together a puzzle and you get it all finished and then there is a missing piece, it just, you don't know where it is and you're looking all over it, and that missing piece causes you to have a missing piece in your thoughts. You're upset. Where did that go? Where did we lose that? And you start looking all over, and you feel upset because of a missing piece. You've lost your peace because of a missing piece. And I want to talk to you today about the missing piece we have in our life. When we're anxious about something, we're upset about something, we're frustrated about something, we're at our ends, you know, the end of our wits, it can get worse and worse and worse about things when you have a missing piece. But and then we usually think about, well, how do I find peace? How do I get this peace back into my heart that I'm lost? There's something missing in me, and so I need to find this peace. But I want you to see that many times the missing piece, There's something that created the missing piece. And what I'm suggesting to you today is the first part of your notes. Unmet expectations create the missing piece. Unmet expectations create the missing piece. You expected when you put the puzzle together that you'd have a nice, complete picture. Some people even frame them, put them up, or at least be able to enjoy the satisfaction. I put it all together. But when there's a missing piece, now suddenly, because that piece is missing, it's created a missing piece inside of me. And now I'm not at peace. I'm not relaxed. I'm not comfortable. There's something wrong. There's a missing piece. Peace. And so what I'm wanting to share in this message this morning, that the thing that creates your missing peace in your heart is unmet expectations, things you expected to happen. I expected the picture would be complete. I expected I could enjoy it. I expected I could show this to others. But now the whole thing is ruined. The one little missing piece has ruined the whole thing. And the expectation we had caused the missing piece. Now, if you knew from the beginning, there's a missing piece in this puzzle. If you chose to put it together, you wouldn't have any expectation at the end I'd be able to have it all complete and told, because that wasn't your expectation. Oh, there's a missing piece. In fact, some people might even say, well, you know, I don't even think I'll try to put it together. But if you did, there wouldn't be the same missing piece at the end because you didn't expect it to be complete and to be whole. So the question is, how does that relate beyond a puzzle to areas of our life where you're missing peace? And so I'm suggesting to you this morning that many times we have a missing piece in our spirit, in our soul, in our emotions, because we had an expectation that something would happen and it didn't happen. And so that created a missing piece in me. And many times the way to get your peace back is not by finding a piece, but finding out what's causing you, what created the missing piece, that anxiety, what made it, what created it. And I'm suggesting it to you today, it's expectations. It's the enemy of peace. Well, there's conscious expectations and there's unconscious expectations. We can have a conscious expectation that, you know, the service is going to start at 11 o'clock. And we usually do. But every now and then something happens and we don't get going and it's later. Well, I didn't expect, so we don't like it. We expect it. That, you know, there's a conscious expectation. We have a conscious expectation, you know, when we get here, the electricity's going to work. Everything's going to work. That's a conscious expectation, but then sometimes it doesn't. We set off for an appointment, and we have the expectation that we're not going to run into traffic. But when we do run into traffic and we're late for the appointment, then we realize, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. I didn't expect that there to be traffic this morning. I didn't expect for me to have a flat tire. I didn't expect for the line at Tim Hortons are going to be so long going through. I didn't expect these things. We can be having planning an outdoor event. Well, we didn't expect it to rain. That when we looked at the weather report, it said warm and sunny. And now I had that expectation. So now when it doesn't happen, I feel a lack of peace. I feel frustrated. I feel bad. It can go to a point where, you know, we did a good job and we expected that we would get a raise on the job, but it doesn't happen. There's all kinds of expectations we have that are conscious ones. Then there's sometimes unconscious ones that we don't really think about, but they're there in us. We expect to have good health. And it really throws us when something happens and now my health is gone. We expect kids will behave, work hard, and get good grades. We expect our generosity and hard work will be acknowledged and appreciated. We don't consciously think about it until it doesn't happen. And now suddenly, and you might not even be able to identify. We just say, that's not right. That shouldn't have happened. Because no one would expect that. We didn't expect them to do that. Didn't expect them to behave that way. These are unconscious expectations that we can have. We accepted when I humbled myself and I went and apologized that the apology would be accepted and things were going to get better. But it didn't. So again, I expected something. It didn't happen. You expect your spouse would love and understand you. But now you're in a relationship where you're not feeling loved and you're not feeling understood and it takes away your peace. Or I expected my prayers to be answered, but they weren't answered. I expected them to be answered. So again, there's this gnawing anxiety and frustration and unease that comes within us, lack of peace. Because I had expectations and they weren't fulfilled. What's the result of these unmet expectations? Well, unmet expectations set us up to, well, here's the first one, feel inward hurt. I'm hurt that they acted that way. I didn't expect them to respond that way. I didn't expect them to treat me in that way. And so we have an inward hurt. We feel a lack of appreciation. We feel like we're not understood. We're not listened to. And so we get this inward hurt that's inside. It's in our emotions. It comes from I expected something. And now this has happened. The second thing that it can produce, unmet expectations, it can produce, you feel angry at people. The thought is, they should have. They should have done that. They shouldn't have done this. I don't know why that's the way. Because you were expecting something to happen. And now your focus is on the people that didn't allow it to happen. You get frustrated with the driver in front of you that's causing the delay in traffic, or the person in the line at Tim Hortons that's taking too long getting their order, and you get angry at people because your expectation of how things should flow, how things should unfold, it's not happening the way I thought. It's not what I expected to happen. In fact, it shouldn't happen. And now, because it shouldn't have happened, now I'm angry at people. And we feel stressed out. Here's the third one. We just feel stressed out in situations. We can get angry at people, or we just get frustrated. I can't take this anymore. I can't take this job anymore. And just the whole situation. I've had people say, I can't live in this community anymore. I can't work with that person anymore. The whole situation. Why? What is the lack of peace? What's it coming back to? Well, you had expectations of how things were going to be, or how things should be, how other people should have acted. And because they didn't reach your expectations, now I just feel frustrated. I feel angry. I feel like I don't want to do this anymore. I want to give up. Those frustrations start with resentment. You're resentful towards people or a situation. And then it grows that you become bitter. Bitterness is an aftertaste in your mouth. It's not the situation, but it lingers. It lingers in your thoughts. It lingers in your emotions. There's a bitterness that takes over. The Bible warns about a root of bitterness that can be destructive within us. You don't want a root of bitterness. But where is it coming from? Where is it stemming from? Well, they didn't do what I expected them to do. It didn't unfold how I planned it to happen. It's not working out. I'm not expecting this to be like this. And so bitterness can turn to cynicism, where you just get turned off of life. You can't really enjoy any new situation because the new situation, you've got this bitterness, this cynicism. It's not going to work. Nobody cares. Nobody does their part. No one does anything. Why should I do more? Other people aren't doing their part. And so you get this cynicism that builds in. It actually becomes a spider web. Unmet expectations is like a spider web. And a spider weaves this web and puts it out so that when insects fly by, they get caught in the web. And then the spider can eat them, devour them. The enemy builds a web around us of your expectations. We're not even aware of it. You can hardly see it. It's like and you try to pull this spider web off your face that you walk into a doorway. But Satan has hit, and it's sticky, and it doesn't allow anything to go past you. You catch every offense. You get angry at every situation because this didn't happen, and it should have happened. Now this has not happened, and it should have happened. And so it builds this thing, or resentment builds to bitterness, and then on to cynicism and so forth. A case in point is Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. And Cain, it says in the scripture, was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of the flock. Well, as time went on, they came to make a sacrifice before the Lord. And Cain, because he works with the ground, he worked hard, cultivated, grew vegetables, fruit, brought them as an offering of the ground to the Lord. Abel, keeper of the flock, he took a lamb, he killed it and brought it as a sacrifice to the Lord. Cain and Abel are standing there before the Lord, as it were. I'm not sure how it actually they offered it, but the scripture said that God respected the offering of Abel, but he did not respect the offering of Cain. But both worked hard. both sacrificed. Cain worked just as hard as Abel, sacrificed as much as Abel. But he comes expecting his offering would be accepted, that all the work he had done would be appreciated. He could have thought, I've done more work than Abel did. But his sacrifice is accepted, Abel's, but Cain's isn't. The Lord spoke to Cain, and he says in Genesis 4:7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. It doesn't say specifically, but I have to believe when the scripture said, the Lord said to Cain, if you do well, it'll be accepted. No doubt it might have been expressed to Cain. Cain, appreciate your offering, but it's not acceptable. Because the whole thing we're setting up through from typology, not sure that it went into the typology, but we know now looking back, without the shedding of blood, there'd be no remission of sin. We know the whole aspect of sacrifice is a living sacrifice, shedding the blood, and it was accepted before the Lord. And they did it for years and years and generations, right up time to Christ, when John the Baptist looked and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was the Lamb. And basically, God is saying to Cain, Cain, yours is not acceptable. Abel's is acceptable. If you do what's right, bring a sacrifice that's acceptable, then it'll be fine. Cain could have taken some of his vegetables and fruit and traded it with Abel, got a lamb, brought the lamb, and they both would have brought a living sacrifice that was sacrificed, and it would have been pleasing to the Lord. But Cain didn't do that. He got angry. This is not how it should be. I'm not appreciated. God's doing something wrong. And the Lord warns Cain. He said, Cain, sin is lying at your door. It's crouching at the door. It's like a lion, a tiger that crouched at the door. You go out that door, this sin is ready to devour you. And sure enough, it did. You read on a few verses later, they're out in the field and Cain sees Abel and kills him. The first murder in the Bible is Cain killing Abel. It all came out of this situation where Cain, I would say, had an expectation that his sacrifice would be acceptable. He doesn't understand. Why is God saying it has to be a living sacrifice? Why can't it be mine? He had it worked out in his mind how it should work, what he expected to happen. It didn't happen. As a result, he gets angry. God says, Cain, why are you getting angry? And I think God asks that question to us every time we get angry. Why are you angry? A lot of times we're angry because something we expected to happen, something that should have happened, did not happen. It didn't meet my expectation. And if you're not careful, rather than listening to the Lord when he says, why are you angry? And backing up a step and say, why have I lost my peace? What did I expect? Oh, my expectation was not in line with what God was working to do. Wow, this is a powerful message this morning. The missing piece happens because it's been created by an expectation you've had, and it's taken you on the wrong path where the Lord said, if you do what's right, hey, you'll prosper. But you get caught in the web. You're picking up on offenses around you. You're caught, and it's Satan's way to ensnare you and to keep you from having peace and being all that God wants you to do. When I was looking at this message, I saw this quote from Shakespeare. Expectation is the root of all heartache. When you have an expectation, Well, you're just setting yourself up for heartache. Well, wow, how would it be a heartache when it doesn't happen the way I expected it to happen? Alcoholic Anonymous, part of their teaching when they take people through the 12 steps. Expectations are the seeds of resentment. They are future resentments waiting to happen. You have an expectation. Well, nothing's happened yet, so it's a seed. It's there. But when it's not met, when it doesn't happen, now I get resentment. And we see the progress. Resentment to bitterness to cynicism and despair. So you would say, well, is the answer then is I shouldn't have any expectations. I'm just not going to expect anything to happen. And sometimes people take this view, don't expect, lower your expectations or whatever. Like, don't expect so much, and sort of a natural humanistic, keep your expectations, but keep them in control or get rid of them. But we can't. I mean, we are meant to live with expectations. What's another word for expectation? Now listen to me. Hope. What are you hoping for? I've often said this, and when I've defined hope, I've said hope is the confident expectation that things are going to get better. So hope is an expectation. But hope is not just alone. The hope is in God. Hope is based in God. Expectations are not. And hope that's not based in God, it says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So when you have a hope, but the hope is not just in your thoughts and your ideas, but your hope comes in God, hope in God, then it's based in something. Hope is secure. It has an anchor. It's anchored in God. Expectations without God, they float like a little boy on top of the water, up and down with the waves blown here and there all over. Expectations can take you anywhere. You can have all kinds of expectations, weird expectations. But they're your expectations, and when they don't come about, it affects you. So it's not just an expectation, but it's an expectation in God. And so I sort of reworked my definition of hope, and I put it in your notes. Hope is the confident expectation that things are going to get better because God is in control and at work. So I still have the expectation. I haven't given up on the expectation. But I've given my expectation to God. And He is at work. But His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my ways. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. So I think things are going to happen in a certain way and can have an expectation. But when it doesn't happen, now that expectation gets blown and pushed, and it can lead me into sin. But if my expectation is based in God, then I'm secure. See, you have to hope in God. Listen to these verses, Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? See, your soul is your emotion, seat of your emotion. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. The way to get rid of the anxiety and the fear and all the negativity in your heart, it says hope in God. Don't hope in how you thought it was going to work out. Hope in God. And then Psalm 38:15, for in you, O Lord, I hope. In the Lord we hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you see how this expectation is surrounded by God, it's infused by God, I'm hoping in God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that's in my expectation. It's not in my thoughts. It's not in how I've conjured how this thing's going to work out. My hope is in God. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a patience that has to be with your hope, because my expectation usually has a time frame. And so I put a time frame on it. But patience is accepting a difficult situation from God without giving him a time limit to remove it. Patience is accepting a difficult situation from God without giving him a time limit to remove it. So patient. I have to be patient in my hope. These are powerful thoughts, because it's where do you put your hope? Is your hope in your healing, or is your hope in the healer? Because God is your healer. The expression of it in your life is your healing. But if you put your faith in the healing and the healing doesn't come, now my expectation is broken. But if I put my hope in the healer and I do it with patience, now it doesn't really matter whether I get the outcome or not, because my hope is in God. My hope is not in the healing. It's a very fine line, but it's an important one to draw. It's the difference between you having peace and having no peace. Between being frustrated and being discouraged. Who are you putting your hope in? Put your hope in God. Don't put your hope in the promise. Put your hope in the one who made the promise. God gave a tremendous promise to Abraham that he'd be the father of nations. And he didn't have any sons. But eventually, Isaac was born. It was the fulfillment of the promise. After all these years, in their old age, they have this son. He's the promise. Now, they could have put their hope in Isaac. But listen, as soon as you begin to put your hope and faith in the promise and not in the one that made the promise, you are on shaky ground. And Abraham hears the Lord say to him, take Isaac up into the mountain and sacrifice him before me. Many times when we shift our hope and our expectation from God to the thing God will give us, he'll say, well, then give me the thing you think you're going to get from me. And so Abraham had to shift back to his faith in God. And he even says, Lord, I believe that you are able to raise him from the dead. Now, he never did sacrifice him. And God, that wasn't his intent for him to sacrifice. But he was testing Abraham on where was his hope and where was his faith. Was it in the promise or was it in God? And I think many times, and I don't understand his ways, they're above my ways. I don't know why everyone doesn't get healed the first time I lay my hands on them. I don't know why everyone's not delivered. But see, we got to have our faith in the deliverer, not the deliverance. You got to fix your hope in God. Then it's solid. Then nothing can shake you. If your hope is in what you think will happen, this is what the scripture says. This is what, it's not that the scripture is wrong, but my interpretation of how this is going to work out in my life. So I think it's going to work out this way, but it doesn't work out the way I think. Well, you can lose your hope and you get discouraged, because discouragement is a lack of hope. And despair is a complete loss of hope. So discouragement is I'm losing my hope because I thought it would happen here, and I thought this would happen. I thought this, and now I'm discouraged because all these bad things are happening, and I had great expectations of how it was going to work. So you have to come back to say, no, my hope is in God. That's why Job said, you ever hear Job? He said, God, though you slay me, yet will I trust him, trust you. How can that be? You know, Job's saying, I have a faith that goes beyond deliverance because my faith is in God. Though God slays me, I'll still trust him. I'll still say God had a plan. God still has a purpose. He still does all things well. And so I might go through circumstances that I didn't expect, and I can get angry at God like Cain did. He's angry. And God says, you know, you keep your anger, you keep this attitude, it's crouching, sin is crouching at your door. It's going to destroy you. And so we have to come back to having a true hope in God, and our expectations are in God. And not come up with a scenario of how God's going to work. I think he's going to do it this way. And then when he doesn't do it that way, then we get upset and we get discouraged. And sometimes we come to despair. We have to learn some things. We have to learn to hope in God. Now, we read the scripture. Kay read the scripture this morning of Paul's experience. And it was Paul's experience forced him to learn. Paul's experience forced him to learn. Listen to the verses that Kay read. Because they were, you know, he was thanking them for the offering that they had given him. And he said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, he learned something, in whatever state I am to be content, to be at peace. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I've learned. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm hungry and I don't have any food. Sometimes I have lots of food. Sometimes this is going well, and other times it's not going well. And he said, I've learned something. I've learned stuff. Whatever state I'm in right in this moment, I'm content. Because he didn't have a particular expectation how he was going to get out of it. And he finishes by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He basically tells them what he'd learned. He had learned that he could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to have it the way I think. Whatever happens, I can trust God. I've learned that. He can strengthen me no matter what happens. I've learned just to trust God. Well, that's a powerful thing. See, there's two ways you can go through life. It's like life is climbing this mountain, you know, and we're climbing this mountain, and as we're climbing this mountain in life, boulders start coming down the mountain, and so, you know, we're trying to dodge the boulder, and dodging the boulders that's coming down the hill, and we're praying, oh God, don't let any boulders hit me, don't let any boulders hit me. I expect that no boulder will hit me because you are with me and you're going to guide me forward. You can think of it that way, or you can think, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm confidently going to go into life, and I'm going to climb every hill. I'm going to go over every horizon, and it doesn't matter what comes my way. If a boulder comes my way, I grab it and I throw it out of the way because I have strength to do that. I can handle the downside of life. I can handle the things that might destroy someone else, but God is with me. I grab it and throw it out of the way. That's a different expectation. I'm going to go through life and nothing's going to ever harm me. We're going to go through difficulties. Those things are going to happen in my life. They happened in Paul's life. He said he could do all things, but listen to some of the things that he had to endure. from the Jews. This is in 2 Corinthians 11. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with the rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I had been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils of the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. In sleeplessness. Often in hunger and thirst. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness. These were the boulders he was facing. And he said, I've learned just to be content and have peace in every situation because God can take me through those things. In fact, he writes it to the Romans, he says, I glory in my tribulation because tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance produces hope. Or perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. You see the progression from tribulations to perseverance, patience, to a change in your character. Now your whole character is hoping in God. I hope in God. And it doesn't disappoint. Does it fail? No, it doesn't fail. Paul comes through all these tribulations out the other side, and he says, I've finished the course, I've done, run the race. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that's going to be given to me on that day. We all are running a race. We're all going through situations. What I'm trying to share with us, you will not have peace unless you hope in God. And not have expectations that you have figured out how it's going to work, how it should work, how I think it should work, how other Christians have told me it's going to work. But you're not trusting in any of those things. You're trusting in God. You're hoping in God. My hope is in God. And that hope is not going to disappoint because it's going to cause you to be a loving, kind, gracious person in every situation. You're going to have a peace that goes beyond understanding. Other people will look and say, how can you handle that? How can you have such a peaceful demeanor when you're going through all these troubles? And you give reason for the hope that lies within you to other people. It doesn't disappoint, this hope. It just allows the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart. These are powerful truths this morning. But sometimes we just don't see the connection between my expectations and how it's causing me to miss peace. Comparison is another. I'm just going through these notes. Comparison creates missing peace. Again, you compare because you expect things to be equal. You know, you expect things to be just. Let's put it this way. You expect things to be fair. It's not fair. You know, things can be just and not fair. Jesus could, in the parable, give a same amount of people that worked all day long in the sun and those that only worked part of the day in the sun to the guy that just had worked 1 hour at the end. We'd say that's not fair. Jesus gave that parable to share that life is not fair. If you expect life to be fair, you're going to set yourself up for trouble. Life is not fair. We all have our different circumstances to go through. But God is working all things together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. I don't know why Stephen was martyred and Peter's delivered from the prison. They're in the same period of time. They're both disciples. All we get a little hint is that Saul of Tarsus, when he saw Stephen martyred, it touched his heart and changed him forever. It was hard for him to kick against the pricks. I don't know why God is working everything the way he does, but he is. You say, well, I'm just a pawn then. He's just moving me. Yes, we're just pieces. Some of us are queens, some of us are knights, some of us are bishops, some of us are pawns that looks like we're sacrificing the pawn for the good of the game. And can I say it? Yes, he does, because in the end, we're all going to be rewarded. And those that we thought were least are going to get the greatest reward. And those that we that great prominence is going to have less than the servant who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. I don't understand it, but I can just hope in God and let my expectations go to God and not how I think the fairness of the situation should work out. Oh, my boss isn't fair. My neighbors aren't fair. You know, this is not fair. This is not right. And we can get angry and upset and lose our peace. And then we fall into sin and we're sidelined rather than just trusting God and hoping in God and praying for God and saying, God, let your love be shed abroad in my heart. Let me do good to people in every situation that I find myself. Well, Jesus told Peter at the end of John's epistle, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And he says, you know, in your last days, you're going to be led. And he describes how Peter's going to die. It's really a crucifixion scene. And Peter apparently was crucified. And the Lord is telling Peter this. And Peter turns and says, well, what about this man? Pointing to John. What about this guy? You know, you're telling me, well, what about this guy? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, what does that matter to you? If I choose for him to remain till I come, what's that to you? Just follow me. We've got to, if you're going to have peace, you've got to lay down the expectation of fairness and rightness in my eyes and just let God be God. So, as we close this morning, what are you expecting? A good life until you're 90. Godly children, a happy marriage, success in business. God will heal you immediately whenever you pray. You'll never come to every harm. Every difficulty is going to be removed from your life. You're going to get whatever you ask in prayer. Is that your expectation? If it is, you're going to set yourself up for a world of harm and disappointment and discouragement. Because sometimes God's plans is like Joseph. You're sold into Egypt. You go to the dungeon. We go through trials. We go through situations. You're going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer pain. That's just the nature of life. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Keep the big picture. You're going to go through these things, but I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you alone. When you give all your expectations to God, you're going to trust God more than you ever did before. You're going to stop judging other people. You won't be critical of other people the way we have in the past. Because I'm not worried about them. They're living their own life. They have their own path to walk. I'll control my tongue more. I'll be less critical, less complaining. I'll begin to do all things without murmuring and complaining. Let no corrupt words come out of my mouth, but only words that will edify. That's the result of giving all your expectations to the Lord. So how do you transfer your expectations in a practical way? I just put three things down here. Let your anger, hurt, or stress trigger the question. What was I expecting? Every time you start getting angry, every time you get stressed, every time you have a lack of peace, just stop and ask yourself, okay, what was I expecting? And give that expectation to God. It's a very practical way. Rather than when I feel the lack of peace, I blame other people. I become critical. Now you ask yourself, okay, what was I expecting to happen that didn't happen here? Because this is causing me to miss peace. Here's the second thing you can do to transfer your expectation. Give praise to God in all things. We talked about this at Thanksgiving a few weeks back, that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I give him thanks in everything. Bad things, hard things, difficult times, painful things. I give him thanks. Because I know he's working all things together for good. He's got a good purpose he's working out of this. Here's the third thing. Humble yourself before others. Humble yourself. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So you're not judging other people. You're not feeling your opinion is better than someone else's opinion. You're esteeming others better than yourself. It says in Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought. Because we think our expectations are right and just, and this is how things should be. Here's how things should unfold. You just have to come off of the throne of your heart and say, God, you sit on the throne. Things are not going to always transpire the way you thought and hoped they were. What you think is the optimum outcome is not always the right one. I'm praying for this because this is the optimal outcome. I just got to humble myself and say, I think that, but God, you know. And so my hope is in you. I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to keep moving forward. But I'm not going to be shaken if it doesn't just happen the way I think it does, because you're the creator, I'm the creation. You are God, I bow at your feet. Your will be done, not my will be done. This attitude will allow you to prosper and be at peace in all things. Would you stand with me this morning? Well, we stand here before the Lord. As I pray in closing here, would you just open your heart? Because these things I've shared, they're not just principles, they're not just truths. This is a spiritual reality. Our hope has to be in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can open your heart and plant things in your heart that my words will not be able to. It's what the Holy Spirit does now with these words, with this message, that will benefit you. So just open your heart. Just open your heart up just to receive what he wants to give you this morning. He wants to give you peace. So Father, we do open our hearts. We see that our expectations many times are contrary to your ways, and they cause us to lack peace. Lord, right now we give you all of our expectations, everything that we think should happen, everything we want to happen. We give those expectations to you. You are a good God, and you do all things well, and we entrust our expectations to you. Help us to live in perfect peace. Help us to live every day, embracing whatever the day may bring, with a contentment, with a peace in our heart that passes all understanding. I pray this for myself, for our church, for every individual that's here, every situation we're going through. We pray in Jesus' name that your will be done.